When they had exhausted all ideas of finding and fixing the leak, Johann Ludwig tried to hold his people together. He gathered to himself as many that could and told them,
"I've been thinking that perhaps it might be an encouragement to us to pray for the future generations of the Canellus family that have not been born yet. We must remember our history and pass on the truthful information relative to our ancestors, thereby to trace the goodness and the faithfulness of our covenant-keeping God. He will preserve himself, a people in this lineage, for many generations."
The seas were so rough now that Johann Ludwig had to stop speaking, and even though he was setting down, he still had to stabilize himself from falling over before he continued.
"I pray that the succeeding descendants of this family may recognize that faithfulness of God in covenant keeping and mercy with their ancestors. These men and women walk before him in truth, and we humbly hope and trust that Almighty God will reserve in this family a seed to serve him from one generation to another until Christ shall appear the second time without sin to salvation."
At this time, even the very sick and all the children now fell upon their knees on the flooded floor and prayed to God. They prayed for a time that every minute seemed like hours. As they prayed, the water around them slowly stopped rising, and it started going down a little as the men kept bailing with whatever they could. The leak had stopped, and each person aboard said, "Thank you, Lord," in their own personal way. After the storm had passed, they were able to sail 2 more days before they reached dry land in America. They landed at Philadelphia with 70 souls that survived the voyage. After landing, an examination was made of the ship, and to their astonishment, it was found that a large shark had thrust its head through the opening in the ship's hull where the leak was. Johann Ludwig told his family that
the shark had become an instrument of the hand of God in preserving their lives.
The loathsome fish was already in a state of decomposing. Only the head remained. The rest of the body had probably been eaten by other sharks. This dead carcass could not have held back the leak if their voyage had lasted another day. After getting resupplied, the 12 families traveled many miles into the forest. And bought a section of land from the Indians to set up their new township. They cut out a nice settlement from the virgin forest. But after a time, the Indian's title was proven a fraud. The land they had settled on was the possession of another tribe, and they came to drive them away. Johann Ludwig and his family had a good and friendly relationship with the original Indian tribe. Each group of families benefited from trade between them. These friendly Indians were warmly attached to these foreign-speaking white settlers. They gave them timely warning to leave the settlement because the other tribes were going to burn it down. The Indians told Johann Ludwig,
"No days by finger on hand."
Anna Knaus, his wife, very discreetly secured a large quantity of silver and gold from a hiding place in their cabin. And along with her children, the entire settlement left for Boston. Johann Ludwig, having so much confidence in the friendship of the Indians and not wanting to leave the settlement unguarded, ventured to stay behind and see how the situation would play out. Johann Ludwig could not think that those friendly Indians would take his life or even compel him to leave, but in this, he was badly mistaken. Finally, the chief of the other tribe, along with 10 of his braves, stood before his cabin and gave him a 10-day notice. They said to him in hand sign language, "If you value your life, pack up and be gone." They also told him that,
"Should fire settlement. If not gone, 10 days."
The chief counted on his fingers and pointed to the 10 braves.
"And his time, no more."